6. Anybody else has any pressing thing to say? You're welcome to pop up a little later, or if you still have something to say maybe on Sunday, feel free. We'll set aside time for you. Genesis 46. All right, we've gotten the tribes of Israel, the sons anyway, in contact with Joseph again. Joseph is now second man in Egypt. And, of course, the drought, the famine, the plague is upon the land. And now, of course, they have gotten reconciled as far as Joseph and his brethren. The brethren have gone back for Isaac, or for Jacob. Chapter 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Now, Beersheba is the place where Abraham planted a grove and lived for a while. Isaac lived there for a while. Beersheba was a common stopping point for these guys, kind of like stopping by and saying goodbye to the old home place on your way to Egypt. Verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Now, I didn't check to see exactly how long it had been since God spake to Jacob in this, but suffice to say, now these guys too, that many of them, many times to us, they walked by sight and not by faith. But these guys went for years and years, Jacob did, without hearing God's voice. Now, I know that, you know, if you divide it out, I bet sometime in your Christian lifetime, you will have, say, 2 or 3 or 4 manifold times where God definitively gets in your life and works out something, you know, that could not have been worked out somewhere along the way. And you can say there that God intervened and all that. The rest of the time, where are you? Folks, the rest of the time, you have a Bible. You have a church to go to where somebody preaches at you. And if you had to live off of, if God really intervened in your life when you were 15 and you got saved, and then really intervened in your life when you were 25 and put things together to find the right girl and you got married, and then put things together when you were 45 and helped you through a really hard time. You know, something like if you had 3 or 4 times in your Christian life where God really intervened, the rest of the time between those gaps, you're left with the Word of God and being in a church, hopefully, where the gospel's preached and where the Word of God comes at you all the time so you know what you're doing, right? Here's Jacob all these years, has not heard the voice of God, and here he's hearing it. Jacob, Jacob, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt. Now, he probably did fear to go down to Egypt. He knows that Abraham got in trouble in Egypt going down there as he did. But he says in verse 3, For I will there make of thee a great nation. So, this is one of those cases where, you know, you're not always called to go to one place. You're not always called. There's times, you know, it's the right time to get saved anytime you hear the gospel, right? It's the right time to do right anytime you know to do right. When it comes to moving a life-changing experience as far as leaving Canaan to go to Egypt, that sort of thing, folks, you need to make sure the timing's right. I mean, if he had tried to go earlier or later, it wouldn't have been right. Remember, at Kadesh Barnea, those folks should have gone up and didn't. Well, when they realized in chapter 14 in Numbers that they were in big trouble and they should have gone up because now God's mad, all these people died in the plague. In Numbers 14:40, they said, okay, we're going to go up now. We learned our lesson. We're going to go up now. And Moses says, do not go up now. And they tried to go up anyway. So there are times in life, folks, that, you know, you need to go when God says go because the opportunity will not always be there. In this passage here, he says, there in Egypt, I will there make of thee a great nation. So the other thing to think about here is here you are in famine, and God calls these this nation to go down to Egypt, where eventually not only are they going to go through famine, but they will eventually be enslaved. Leads them there so that something, some other good may come, right? Look in Hosea 11, and I'll tell you what you can thank God for. You can thank God that God doesn't really do things in your life quite like He did in Israel's history. Israel is in Egypt for 480-something years. I mean, it is a long haul. No single man survived the entire time. Hosea chapter 11. But eventually you see that this comes out right, that God called them to Egypt for a reason. And Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 specifies, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. He had to send him into Egypt, into famine, into drought, into slavery, in order to bring him out. Look in, where is that? Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And got a song in our hymn book, Lead On, O King Eternal. The fact of the matter is, sometimes where the Lord leads you is into a dark place. And sometimes you led into the dark place so that He can lead you back out into light. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And notice verse 23. Deuteronomy 6, 23. Verse 22 says, the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Well, He brought us out of Egypt to lead us into Canaan, but He sent them earlier into Egypt so that He could lead them out to take them into Canaan. So, folks, life goes in cycles, right? I mean, you will go from one trouble to a victory, to a trouble to a victory, two troubles in a row, then a victory, two victories in a row, then a trouble. Life's a cycle. It really is. I mean, if you're hoping for the Benny Hinn, you know, fluffy cloud experience, I really think that you're headed for a downfall, because life in this battle, this life, is just not all upward like that. It's not like taking off in a jet. It is a roller coaster. You go through stuff, and sometimes God brings you out to bring you in, but He'll send you into the iron furnace of Egypt sometimes, so He can do something for you there. Back to chapter 46, verse 3. And He said, I am God, the God of thy father. I am Him. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Okay, He promised that to Abraham. He promised it to Isaac. Now He promises it to Jacob, and He did make them a great nation there. Again, a lot of times the great nation, the great man is made through the troubles that he goes to. In Psalms, Egypt is called the iron furnace. And you have to go through the furnace to have the dross burned off. Brother Haben mentioned that a couple times. And you know what? That's the battle we're in, right? Down in verse 4. I will go down with thee. Remember Moses said, Lord, man, if you brought us out here and you're not going to go in with us, just kill us here. Because the most important thing is having God with you. Whatever else is the case, folks, God never calls you to go somewhere where He's not going to be with you. Right? And you think about that. You know, it's easy to say stuff like that. It's easy to stand beside Ian's hospital bed, you know, and say the words, but you think about laying in the hospital bed. And you think about what it would mean to you that you are here with presumably what would be normally anyway a deathly disease, you know, eating away at your insides, and God has called you here. So what's your comfort? He's here with you, right? Works for bankruptcy too. Works for marriage trouble too. Works for loneliness. You know, he never calls you to go anywhere that he hasn't gone there before. Back to verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. The idea there being that Jacob's going to die down there, and Joseph's going to put his hand on his eyes and close his eyes. So, verse 5. Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They took their cattle, their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came unto Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. His sons with him, his daughters, interesting statement that. How many daughters of Jacob do you know their names for? One, right? Name? Dinah. You only know one daughter. But he says daughters here. Sons, that'll be important later. Sons, daughters, and his sons' daughters, all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Verse 8. And these are the names of the children of Israel. This is the boring part of the Bible. When the Lord starts naming names of people and we can't even pronounce the names. Which came into Egypt, Jacob, his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Pharez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Pharez were Hezron and Hamul. Sons of Issachar, Tola, and Puva, and Job, and Shimron, not the same Job of Job, different Job. Verse 14, the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Elon, and Jaleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Paddan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 30 and 3. And you can go through and work with these numbers, and that's what we're going to talk about in just a second. Verse 16, sons of Gad, Ziphion, and Haggai, and Shuni, and Esbon, and Eri, and Erodai, and Erali, sons of Asher, Jimna, and Eshua, and Isui, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister, the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpah. Somebody else want to read? I'm just kidding. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. These she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. Sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. Unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Beker and Ashbel, and Gira and Naaman and Ehi and Rosh and Muppam and Puppam and Ard. Muppam, Huppam, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born unto Jacob. All the souls were 14. Sons of Dan, Hushim, the sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Guni, and Jezer, and Shilim. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter. She bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives. So you're counting everybody that came from his loins, but except for the wives. All the souls were 66. 66. Sons of Joseph, which were born in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came to Egypt, were 70. So you go from 66 in verse 26 to 70, 70 verse 27. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came unto the land of Goshen. Now, just to pause at this for just a minute here, look in Acts 7, if you would. Acts 7, and this has been a continuing thorn in the sides of Bible students, but particularly Bible correcting Bible students for a long time. He says in one place, 66 souls. He says in another, 70 souls. Acts chapter 7. Acts 7. Notice verse 17, I believe. No, 14. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. 66, 70, and now 75. Look at Exodus 1 real quick. Now, we've been through this in a problem text, and guys, don't worry, I'm not going to go through all the way through it. But Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And if you go to, you don't have to go there, but Deuteronomy 10 gives you another number as well. So, just at this, now you can go through, you have 66, 70, and 75. You can go through and look at the wording carefully, and you can go through with all the names that are listed, and kind of figure out some of it, but you never come to a completely satisfying answer. And I am concluded, I've worked on this now for off and on for years, and I never have come up with a sure solution. I know this. Those numbers are still true. God said what He said, and it's right. Tell you what you're left with. You're left, I've concluded, with not enough information to know exactly how those numbers work. For instance, I told you to remember this, verse 7. Genesis 46, 7. For instance, nobody knew till that verse right there that Jacob had more than one daughter. Okay? All we knew was Dinah. Now you're told daughters. And we're not talking about granddaughters either, because it specifies then sons' daughters. Jacob had more than one daughter. How many more? Well, that would affect those numbers. The point is, God said, well, He brought out 66 by this count, 70 by this count, 75 by this count. Each of those cases, God is counting something else. He's counting people that I don't believe you'll ever figure out, because I don't believe that He gave you enough information to figure it out. You say, well, what good is that? I'll tell you what good it is. Your God said 66, 70, and 75. It's good enough for you. Right? In the end. I mean, search for the answer, and if you find it, wonderful. But then if God doesn't give you the answer because there's not enough information there, it's not a big deal. Trust God, right? Don't go change your Bible like the rest of those guys do. They all go through, and they all start telling you what's possible and what's not possible, and how this scribe miswrote this number and that number. And this one's probably right, but that one's wrong. It's just epidemic what happens. Don't go there. Your God is true. He knows the count and didn't give you necessarily all the information it takes. Brother John, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Dave? Right. Yeah. It's, you know, I concluded in going through it over and over again that God just didn't give you enough details to be able to figure stuff out. I believe there are places like that in the Word of God where, you know what, I tried drawing the millennial temple. Not that I'm a great artist, but I tried drawing the millennial temple from Ezekiel. You know what I came to the conclusion of? I'll never do it because I cannot figure out what it's talking about. It starts naming off these things that I don't know what those things look like. And then it starts talking about just the way it describes it. I can never get my mind wrapped around details of how it looks. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 46, verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot, went up to meet Israel, his father. Can you imagine the butterflies flying around in his stomach, huh? To Goshen. And presented himself with him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Makes you wonder if those boys ever really came clean with their father, doesn't it? I mean, they bring back this bloody coat and say a lion got him. So does Joseph, or does Jacob now think that the boys didn't actually sell him, or did they come clean and tell Jacob, you know, we sold him and tricked you with this bloody coat? Or did they let it lie? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because I never find this definitive proof of which way it went. Verse 31. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Interestingly enough, back to 43, chapter 43. We looked at this earlier. 43:32. When the table was set before all of them, he set the boys separate from the Egyptians because, verse 32, the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, folks, you know, I look at that. Here we're called to be separate from the world. Did you know if you are what you're supposed to be, the world will pretty much separate from you? It's just the way it works. If you are what you're supposed to be, there's an awful lot you don't even have to deal with because they don't want much to do with you. But here in this passage, you have Egyptians with convictions separating from shepherds. They will not sit and eat and fellowship with them. Furthermore, back in Exodus chapter 8, Exodus 8, notice one more thing here. Moses said, It's not meet to do so, that we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. I mean, if they sacrifice this sheep in the presence of the Egyptians, that is an abomination to the Egyptians. So, for Egyptians, fellowship with shepherds, being a shepherd, and the sacrifice of a sheep is an abomination. That answers for a lot of the problems in your family. In your life with your lost people, right? Chris?
Kind of interesting the way cowmen are called shepherds.
Oh, in this case? Well, the cattle, you understand, do include the sheep, right? Word of God, sheep, goats, cows, they're all cattle. So, shepherds. All right, Genesis chapter 47, verse 1. And Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men. Five is kind of a number for Joseph. How many, when he set Benjamin down at the table with the rest of the brethren, how much stuff did he give Benjamin? Five times as much. When he sent them away and gave Benjamin clothing and money, how much did he give Benjamin? five times as much. Okay? Jesus Christ bore five wounds. Those wounds killed him. Right? At the same time, from that death also flowed grace. So I see, I see both death and grace in five. Okay? But many times, five is death. Okay? And Christ had to die before you got your grace. Right? All right, back to Genesis 47. And notice verse 3. In verse 2, he took five men, presented them to Pharaoh. I never have been able to figure out which five. I wonder which five. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." Pharaoh had never had a conversation with Laban. Because Laban lost his flocks to Jacob with the little breeding program. Remember that? So, if you find any man of activity, somebody with some oomph and pizzazz and some administrative talents, put him over my flocks as well, he says. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, he blessed Pharaoh and Pharaoh took it. The pharaohs of the day believed that they were gods, or they were told that they were gods come down to earth to dwell, and yet he allowed Jacob to bless them. Okay? Now, I guess there's something to be said there for age. Look in Proverbs 16. Because the first thing that comes up is Pharaoh says to Jacob, "How old art thou?" So age must have something to do with it. Proverbs 16. Now, I believe in honoring your elders, especially now that I'm mostly your elder, as the birthdays continue to creep up. Proverbs 16:31. However, notice this. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now here Jacob is, an old man, a righteous old man, been through a lot and all that, but has the authority to be able to bless Pharaoh, okay, and Pharaoh to take it, you know, in good stride and good nature. One of the great tragedies of our day, you've seen it particularly in the hippie generation of the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And now, of course, those folks are old and decrepit. You have the Bill Clintons of the world. Folks, those people have no wisdom. As far as I'm concerned, the hoary head is not to be honored. It is not found in the way of righteousness. Okay? I'm not saying if you're 10, you shouldn't say, "Yes, sir," to a gray-haired guy with an earring and a ponytail. I'm just saying that they're not wise. And that honor is due somebody who lives in the way of righteousness. Okay? Now, there's something to keep in mind, guys, as you grow older. I mean, if you're 40 and you're making stupid, moronic mistakes still, then one day, don't expect your grandkids to fall over all over you and think that you're the wisest thing to ever hit town because you're not found in the way of righteousness. As you grow older, there are some things you should learn. You should get wiser as you go and, frankly, more righteous as you go. And that's no longer the case in general. It used to be, I suppose, the case more often than not, but it's not the case anymore out there. Right? All right, back to verse 8. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Over in chapter 47:28, you find where Jacob lives in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. But this discussion happened when he was 130. All right, back to verse 10. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Any questions or comments here tonight?